to transcendental transformation, the place where spirituality and transformation unite. Host Miss Raina imparts truth so that you can break through your limiting beliefs and evolve into a deeper consciousness. As you go about your day, remember, before every breakthrough, there is a breakdown. And now, let's start the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to tonight's episode of Transcendental Transformation. I'm your host, Miss Raina, and tonight is Tuesday, September 6, 2016. As always, we are coming live from the beautiful city of West Palm Beach, Florida. I hope all is well over there. Happy Labor Day. Did you guys have a pleasant Labor Day? What did you guys do? Did you guys do anything exciting? Was there any, but the typical barbecues? I know a lot of families do that, but did any of you do anything out of the ordinary, do anything special, something that you guys want to do for a long time, but you haven't had to? If you did, write me in, let me know. And I always love to hear about new things. You know, Labor Day to me is just holidays. It's just another day for me. So what did I do? I went swimming for the first time in a long time because, you know, I was a competitive swimmer. For a first time in a long time, I got back in the pool. I said, you know what? I've been having a lot of problems with my body lately, and I just don't seem to have the flexibility, the core strength anymore. And, and I've been really working hard on getting my body back to center, back to the fitness level that I really had before. But, I remember that when I was a competitive swimmer, I got to say my body was to the T sharp, and, I had strength from head to toe, and swimming is the best exercise for the body. It works every muscle from all the way from the nape of your head all the way down to your toes, and your body is solid. So I started doing that. I did work a little bit, like I said, it was just another Monday to me. So I did see a couple students, but I did also start yoga. I've been trying this new thing because I realized that, that my flexibility is gone and my body is just so tight. And, when this last season in softball, even though we won the championship on Thursday, and we came in second place, we ended up going to the championship game on Friday, but we ended up losing. I just noticed that my body is just not responding the way it is. And I'm going to tell you people, I refuse to say that just because of my age and I'm getting older, that I'm not going to respond or play well. And that absolutely not. I am not going to take that. All I need to do is readjust things, because for the first time in my life, usually during the regular season, I kind of use that as a buildup to get reconditioned to softball each season. And then in the playoffs, I explode. Well, this season and all my leagues were completely different. This season, I played well, and by the end of the season, I was just out of gas. I had no strength left. I had no flexibility. I was just done, and it showed in the playoffs. I got to say, I was not helpful to especially my Friday night team at all, and I got to take responsibility for that. The accident changed me more than I thought, so my motto for right now is going to be rebuild, re-strengthen, and reinvent, and that has to be my mind focus right now, because obviously, as we get older, our body does change, but that does not mean we have to give in to those type of ideas. But I did take a trip to Tampa as well. Last weekend, I went up to Tampa, I should say, not down. I went up to Tampa and I saw some friends of mine, which I love very much. And I was supposed to play in a tournament there, and that kind of fell through. So I ended up spending the whole weekend with my friends, which I absolutely loved, because it worked out better that way. Friend time, as much as I love softball, friend time is always so much better, isn't it? Especially when you care about people and you get to hang out and you just get to spend quality time with that, because if you know me, you know that I am all about quality time, not about quantity, but about quality. It was a very pleasant trip, and I'm glad to do it. Also, I want to mention that for the last 3 weeks, I have had a major cough. Someone passed down their cough. I didn't get sick, but I've just had this repetitive cough, and I've been working really hard on getting rid of it. So a few times, I might have to step away from the mic just to let you guys know. Last show was a couple weeks ago. We talked about the understanding of self through acceptance. self-acceptance is so hard. It's such a struggle for many of us, isn't it? Just to find acceptance within ourselves. We spend all of our time trying to be accepted by other people. Accept ourselves. And ourselves is who we need to focus on. Our perception is so limited by our emotions. And tonight's show is all about anger. And we're going to get into the limitations that anger brings us. But our perception is limited by our emotion, especially when we're sad, when we're angry, when we're feeling hopelessness, when we're feeling lost because of their own non-existence of self-acceptance. We view our lives as being rejected by the world or maybe being outcast. And I know that feeling. If I want to victimize myself, I could sit there and say, yes, the world rejects me. I could victimize myself and say, yes, I am an outcast to the world because my opinions and my ways and my way of thinking is so radical from a lot of different ways. And so a lot of people don't take kindly to it. But I don't victimize myself because I accept myself. Hey, I love who I am. I love the way I think, and I love the development that I've had to come to. And that's okay if others don't accept that, because what's most important is I accept that. And that's the point that you have to get to is do you accept yourself? And you got to ask yourself, why is it so important for you to fit in? What is the drive? What is the main drive in you to fit into something? Because fitting in doesn't mean that you're going to gain a sense of self. Absolutely not. If anything, the harder you try to fit into other people and other groups and farther away you get from yourself is the farther away you're going to get from gaining sense of self. You're not going to understand who you are because you're so busy trying to fit in and make other people happy. It's not fitting in isn't going to resolve loneliness. or the emotional distress, it's not going to resolve either of those. So what is it you're looking for? If you're not going to get in a sense of self, if you're not going to resolve your loneliness or emotional distress, then why is it so important for you to fit in? So how do we understand self? Well, that's why you got to go back and listen to the show. Of course, after listening to tonight's show, you go back and listen to that show and you'll be all good, I promise. But if you want to, you got to go find out, and it's in the archives and on the webpage. You know where to go. All right, tonight's show is about anger. Anger is a common human experience that ravages our lives. Are you like one of those people that struggle with sudden uncontrollable outbursts of anger? Or maybe even you're one of those that internalize your anger, trying so desperately to keep it under control, only to have you come out, bursting out on the people that you care for. And I am 100% guilty of that. I got to be honest with you. I was choice B on that. I did have sudden uncontrollable outbursts of anger, but I always internalized everything because, you know, when I grew up in Catholic school, and everybody told me that I had to always turn the other cheek, and I always had to look the other way, and I should never, you know, I should never speak up. Adults should, you know, kids should never be heard. They should only be seen. And all these conditionings of my life. And so whenever something happened, you know, I always internalized everything, and I became even angrier and angrier, and to the point, and even a couple years ago when I caught the crash of 2011, when I, you know, had a really, really, really bad year. And I mean, I got so engrossed in my anger, and I just let it explode, and it came out everywhere. It was a toxin to the environment. It was a toxin to those around me, even to some of my closest friends, said, "Miss Raina, who are you? This is not you. Come back to us, because you're just so angry all the time." And anger can destroy us if we allow it to. In fact, if we look at things, did you know that anger is number one emotion used in today's world? Would that come to a surprise to some of you? Honestly, it doesn't come to a surprise to me, because if I go, I mean, I don't know. I live in Florida, so people here are very aggressive. People here are very closed-minded. We're very all about our material items, and you know, and just people are just sometimes even in spiritual places, people just seem to. And when I go on social medias and I go on TV, everywhere I look, it's just angry and fighting and bickering and trying to prove our points to one another. So yes, I 100% agree that anger is the number one emotion used in today's world. In fact, I know that most people spend most of the day fighting. They spend most of the day talking trash, showing aggression to other people, putting others down. Even those that say and teach about compassion and understanding. I see it happen all the time because we are in such a defensive world today, aren't we? It's like every time we go out in the world, we always have to put on this mask. We always have to put on this armor. And especially if you're down here in Florida, Florida is very tough for me. I'm always about truth on this show and I'm open about who I am. So on this show, I'm going to tell you, Florida is very tough for me to live in because a lot of people just are just all about themselves and I have a hard time. And even in the nicest conversations, all I hear is everybody talking trash about each other and putting each other down. And to me, that's not what I'm about. I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want to be around that stuff. Let's talk about something educational. Let's talk about something that's going to help us develop into mature, conscious souls. But we don't, because we're so much in anger. And if we're not talking about each other, if we're not fighting, then you know what? In our mind, we're replaying those thoughts over and over, right? We're replaying the wrongs that people have done to us. We're replaying the angry thoughts, and they're consuming us. And so our way of exhaling that, our way of lashing out towards that is by fighting with everybody, internal and external. Our environment is always about anger. And that's why you're listening to the show, right? It's because we are some angry people. I'm willing to bet if I do my research, because I did my research on the other stuff, on the number one being used emotion, but I bet if I do my research, I'm willing to bet that over 60% of the day on average is spent by most people with an angry thought, an angry feeling, or an angry action running through us some way, shape, or form. We're always encountering anger. And then we need to take a deep breath, don't we? We just need to take a deep breath sometimes and just relax. Just take a deep breath. Let's change the mood a little bit. You see how excited I was for the first couple of things? Because when we're not controlling our emotions, when we're not controlling our energy, it gets so chaotic and it gets so rampant. Now all of a sudden, let's slow down. Let's take the tone down, because we know these facts. We know how anger helps us. We know how anger has come. Let's look at it in a psychological way. In psychology, the limbic system is part of is the emotional center of control. When you're angry, you do not use the cortex. The cortex is the thinking part of the brain. So the limbic system is the emotional center. The cortex is the thinking part of the brain. And inside, we have the amygdala. The amygdala is the storehouse of the emotional memories. Well, in other words, it stores all the emotional memories that you ever encounter. And did you know that's an infinite storage space? Believe it or not, we actually remember. Our brain is so amazing that we actually remember everything we touch, feel, hear, and sound. Everything. Everything that we see, everything that we experience, our brain remembers it and files it in some form of our some part of our brain. It's amazing, right? So with the amygdala being the storehouse of the emotional memories, it is also responsible for, guess what? Fight or flight, right? It would make sense. It's the storehouse for the emotions. So it would have to be in charge of the sympathetic nervous system. Fight or flight. That's what makes us get all crazy sometimes. That's what gives us that shot of adrenaline and vasodilates us, and our pupils go real wide, and we're either in it or out of it. So what happens is when we have an experience, the information comes into us. It comes into one of our five senses and goes into the amygdala. When it hits the amygdala then decides whether A, it's going to the limbic system, or B, it's going to the cortex. If The emotional stressor is triggered through an experience that makes us uncomfortable or makes us have some sort of reaction. It actually goes into the limbic system. And guess what? You react. The person reacts because that's what the emotion, that's what the limbic system is all about. The limbic system is all about the emotions. And in that moment, we lose all train of thought. Because in this part of the brain, the limbic system does not care. It has no consequences of judgment. It has no consequences of thinking. It has no consequences of evaluation of the situation that's going on. And if you're a listener to the show, do you remember a long time ago when we talked about the limbic system with people with ADHD and hyperactivity? Remember that the limbic system, when there is a discorrelation between the neurons firing, and that what happens is even in ADHD people, that's why they're so quick to react. There's some dysfunction there where a lot of the processes go through the Olympics or the Olympics. I must be watching the Olympics way too long, but the Olympics is. I'm going to do it again. The limbic system. What happens is it goes through there, and all of a sudden we react. And that's why ADHD people have such a hard time, and when they're so emotional and they're so easily reactive. But if you want to listen to that show, that's on another thing. But the limbic system is quite amazing because once information goes in there, like I said, we lose all sorts of control. There is no rational thinking. There's no rash. And most of us, unfortunately, we operate out of that type of idea, that type of concept. Most of our processes go through the limbic system. And that's why, because when we go through the cortex, we have rational thought. On average, did you know that it takes 20 minutes for the body to calm down from any type of rush? The body has to go through a hormonal flush. Whenever there is an emotional trigger, whenever there is an emotional discharge of, and the body has to go through a hormonal flush in order for us to calm down. I mean, the hormones and have to go someplace, right? They're just not floating around and get recycled. They have to go someplace, and the body has to flush them out. That's why it is never a good idea to make a decision when we're angry, or to make a decision, or to talk to anybody. I was actually talking to a friend of mine the other day, and they were like, well, you know, every time I get into a fight, I have to be the one that has to solve the problem right then and there. And my partner is not the one that doesn't want to. They run out the door and explode. And I said, well, let them. Don't ever try to force somebody, especially if they don't have that part, because even if you're upset, even if you're the more calm one, when you're upset, what happens is you're still not thinking rationally. You're still reacting on emotion, and you can't control that because the limbic system does not think rationally. So I want you to remember that. And because our brains work in patterns, we condition ourselves to constantly be angry over and over. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsor.
With so many fads and gimmicks in today's world, it's crucial to understand the choices we make regarding what we ingest and apply to our bodies. KM Botanicals Custom Fusion Herbal Products help make those choices simple and smart. They use only the purest sourced ingredients that produce high-quality products your body will love. Their specialized custom blends are scientifically formulated to establish and maintain a healthy, radiant external as well as internal domain. KM Botanicals custom formulas are clinically developed by a licensed esthetician to suit your individual needs. Relish in the full line of therapeutic grade essential oils, or get creative and combine their high quality raw ingredients to create your own blends. With custom blends, KM Botanicals prides themselves on the promise that your products will be formulated and tailored just for you. Simply visit kmbotanicals.com to download your personal questionnaire and get started. That's kmbotanicals.com or call 954-281-5613 for more info. Give your body the healthy look it's been craving with KM Botanicals.
Our brain loves patterns. It is all about patterns. And the more we get conditioned to a certain pattern, the easier it is for our brain to work in that sort of pattern. The easier it is for our neurons to fire in that way because it likes to know. It likes to have the similar routes because it fires the fastest. It understands it. And so we condition ourselves along with society to be angry and aggressive. We're not taught self-boundaries. How many of us really understand what it is to set a self-boundary or how to handle conflict? That's one of the biggest problems. The way we react to conflict in this idea or in this society, I should say, is by anger, is by aggression, because that is the only way that it seems to work, at least in our mind. Our patterns have developed us. Our boundaries, our ideas of not setting boundaries have developed these patterns of aggression because of the conflict. Everything we look at, everything that we disagree with or we don't understand becomes a stimulus overload. We don't learn to set boundaries in when we're young because we're always being told that it's the parents that are number one. And as long as you're in this house and you go to school and you got to follow this rule and you got to do all these things. And they're conditioning children to be angry all the time. They're conditioning people because children do not have an understanding of the world. All they know is that how they feel, how they react, and they don't understand what boundaries are. They don't understand what conflict is, but they're told that they shouldn't act all these different ways. And we're not told how to handle who we are, how we feel. So anything that we disagree with or anything that we don't understand, of course, is going to become a stimulus overload. Right? It makes sense. Our brain does not know how to handle it. Our limbic system does not know how to handle it. It's just constantly pushing this information through, and it's going to react the only way it knows how, through no rhyme or reason. So what makes us like this? What made us like this? Well, you know, I'm glad you guys asked, because let's first look at the first thing. We're going to first look at, of course, if you know the show, unresolved issues and challenges. You have unresolved challenges and experience. In fact, all anger is equal to unresolved past, all of it. Everything that you experience is always about your past. Unless there is some type of actual thing going on inside the head that the brain is actually dysfunctional in that sense of physical dysfunction, and that all anger other than that resides in the past, all of it. And you got to look at it. And, you know, we're just talking about the childhood. So if we look at our childhood, your childhood and your youth are always going to dictate your future and your future experiences, what you deem to be as stressors. Because when we come into this world, right, we come into it, you know, open, wide eye. We're told we can be everything and anything, to always follow your dreams. But as we grow, as we get older, that isn't always the truth. We find out all these different worlds. You know, we watch TV and it always tells you to be yourself, to do all this, but we sacrifice that so quickly for the good of everybody else, because we want to be popular. We want to fit in. We want to do all these things. We want to have all these ideas because we're trying to find out who we are. So let's take a moment to think about our childhood for a minute. Let's if you close your eyes and we go back in the past, were you one that was pushed around or maybe bullied? Maybe you weren't liked or not even popular at all. Maybe you're called a dork or a geek or a nerd or whatever names the kids come up with today. Maybe you got bad grades. Maybe you even had tough parents, or you were raised with bad parents in your mind. Maybe you were one of those kids like I was, that just had this openness about them, that had such a generosity to them, that just constantly gave of other people, and those people took advantage of you. And you were used by your friends. And in our minds, we view this as shortcomings. We take a look and we say, well, you know, our life you know, isn't that person's life? And why can't we be like this? And why can't we be like this? And because we are so busy of asking whys and not accepting us for who we are, and nobody really explains this. Very few parents in the world today actually take the time and explain to their children and talk about how they're feeling. When I was raised, I was constantly in fights. I was in fights all the time to the point where it seemed like there was a fight every single day for I don't know how many years. And the friends that I had were only using us because my parents had a little bit of money. And so I had, you know, a little bit more toys and things that people had. And you know, and people took advantage of that. So when I constantly had to fight, I was constantly in a state of anxiety. I was constantly, and nobody told me that. My dad was constantly saying, you have to get tough. You have to fight back. You have to show them. You have to. And the answer was aggression. The answer was to get angry. The answer was to be tougher than them, to scare them, to develop this. And to me, the type of person that I truly was inside, I hated this because I didn't want to fight people. I didn't want to act in aggression, but I was constantly being conditioned to resolve aggression and anger with anger and aggression. And in my mind, this was a shortcoming. And in those shortcomings, I developed triggers. Triggers. Triggers are the key to solving anger. They really are. What are triggers? Triggers are ideas that create a quick emotional response to a stimuli. These triggers are deeply rooted experiences that caused us great pain and discomfort. Unfortunately, our conscious mind is not aware of these triggers, but our subconscious mind is very aware of these triggers. This is why some of us get so set off so quickly, and we have no clue why. This is why so many of us, when we hear something we disagree with, we shut down immediately, and our first response is to fight with anger, because it is a trigger. And our subconscious is like, whoa, here's a trigger. Up, here's a sore spot. It's like poking somebody that has a bruise or has a hurt part of the body. And every time someone says something, someone pokes you in there. Your first response is to go, ow, ow, that hurt. But you react in that anger. Triggers are here to remind us to heal the past. But we're so involved in being righteous. We're so involved in trying to teach and show and not be pushed around or bullied because of our childhood, because we allowed our childhood for people to walk on us, and because we allowed ourselves to be the puppets to popular kids. Our triggers are so deeply developed that we respond to everything with chaos. But if you take a moment, and I teach all my students this, if you take a moment to step back and to notice the triggers, to realize that it's to remind us to heal the past, then it's amazing. Then triggers can work for you in such an amazing way that you'd be surprised how quickly their anger is resolved just by finding out the trigger. Now, I'm going to give you an example because this week, a lot of my students have been going through hell month, or hell months, I should say, because a lot of times it's multiples. But, you know, one of my students was always late. And I got to be honest with you that a lot of times when students first come to me, they're always late. It's one of one of Miss Raina's biggest pet peeves is people being late. And there's a whole reason. There's a whole – and actually part of the program that I teach with these students, because you're late for a reason. And there's a reason why I'm so adamant about my students showing up on time all the time. And so one of my students was always being late. And so the first time I said, hey, can you be on time? Blah, blah, you know, da, 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 da. The second time, hey, can you be on time? Da, 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 da. The third time I said, look, you need to be on time. Part of this program says this. And even in the contract, it says this, this, and this about being on time. And right from there, I saw the pushback. And every time we discussed being on time, I started noticing this particular student start freaking out. They got all tense. They got all shifty, and they started getting moody. And I started noticing the more it started happening, the more angry and aggressive this person started to be. And finally, after I said, look, you need to be on time, otherwise this is a violation and blah, 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 this is going to happen. All of a sudden, you saw this quick anger. You saw this flare in their eyes, and it was just go from there. And all of a sudden, it was just this rebellious. It was like this little child rebelling against me. And a few days later, all of a sudden, I said, okay, you're going to be on time. They said, okay. A few days later, all of a sudden, I had this intuition that they were going to be that they were not going to be on time. And about 10 minutes to our appointment, this person texts me and explodes all over me. I'm not coming on time. I quit, blah, 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 and explodes. And I got to tell you, this is not the first time this has happened. So I said, I called this person. I said, you know, whoa, calm down. No, you don't understand. I quit. I can never be on time, blah, blah, click. So I called them back because I knew that this was a trigger for them. They were exercising their anger and their rebellion because they did not know how to deal with the emotional trigger that was behind it. And this is all something we must go through. So I called them back. I said, look, just come over here. Just let's talk about this. And they said, okay. As soon as we got in, the first thing we started talking about was the memories. Okay, well, let's calm down. We listened to, I listened to what they had to say. And right away I realized and we figured out that the memories of their childhood due to their father, their idea had a bad image of their father being aggressive. It always had to be his way. He drank a lot. He was very aggressive. He was very put down to women and to men and stuff. It was always his way. And this developed in this child. This developed a sense of aggression, a sense of rebellion, a sense of anger that was undealt with. And so the inner child would rebel any time there was a form of authority. When the inner child felt that there was an authority figure that was demanding that this be this way and they didn't have a say-so, that was the trigger. That trigger relayed back to that emotional memory that said, oh, this is your dad. Every time, whether it was a man or a woman, every time someone was in an authoritative figure, this person had a trigger that relayed any authority figure to a mean old dad that had to have his way and that was aggressive. And would you believe the moment we discovered that, the moment that came out, it went away. This person called me the next day and said, you know what? I get it now. I know why you want me to be on time. And I cannot believe that I took it that way. And I said, whoa, don't judge yourself. Never judge yourself for feeling this way. This is why why we're here as humans is because we're meant to learn. But you took a big step. You took a huge step in facing the emotional challenge and not giving up. Sure, you could have not answered me and you could have just dwelled in your anger. You could have done. But no, you said, hey, you know, I need to figure this out. And yes, I'm angry and I exploded, but that's okay. But and this person was so amazed. Even still, when I saw them recently, they were still like, wow, I still can't believe that it's gone. Like, I have no problem with being on time now. Now I understand that it's a form of respect. I understand it's a form of being responsible for myself. And because I realize that it's not a problem with you, but it was a problem with me because of my father, it disappeared. And it was truly amazing to watch something so deeply rooted, something that was haunting this person for so many decades of their life, just disappear in an instant because of a realization. And it's truly amazing. So when we react to things that we disagree with or we don't understand, it shows that in our mind we have become closed-minded to anybody other's perspective than our own. And this is very tough because when the emotional trigger gets sent, it goes to the limbic system. And once it goes there, right, there's no rational thinking. There's no judging. There's no nothing. It is pure reaction. And this is what most of us do. I always tell everybody, when you're reactive, Notice when you're reactive. If you're reactive to the moment someone says something, you're closed-minded to that due to some emotional trigger. You will never grow. You will never learn as long as that type of idea is in your head. We'll be right back after these messages.
A message from the life of Raina. We live in a world faced with many tough challenges. Our lives become chaotic and fill with disaster ever so quickly, most of the time before we even realize. Our issues beat down our mental mindset, and an imbalance of emotions become prevalent. The Life of Raina is dedicated to helping people on the deepest spiritual level. Miss Raina, the creator of Transcendental Development and Growth, works on your core issues and finds the solutions which allow you to break free from the emotional bondages of life, helping you achieve the life you've always wanted to live. Isn't it time that you lived life for you? Call the Life of Raina, 561-846-2190, and schedule your appointment today. That's 561-846-2190. Or email thelifeofraina at icloud.com.
In the event of pain, in the event of any pain, our survivor in us holds on so strongly to our belief system. Our belief system tells us and gives us a false sense of security and stability. This is why so many of us have a reaction to something that we don't agree with. And before you guys, and I know some of you guys are going to disagree with what I'm about to say, but I really want you to not react. And I want you to think about what I'm saying to you. Just take a moment and let it sit in. Even after the show, re-listen to this part and let this part sink in, because this is very vital to your anger. As I said, when we instantly react to something that we disagree with or not understand, we actually are closed-minded to another person's perspective. Because of pain in our past, the survivor in us allows us to hold on strongly, sometimes too strongly. It squeezes that idea of belief systems. And in those belief systems, it gives us the idea of false security and false stability. And that is why the difference of opinion angers us so easily. Because if we have an idea and it's giving us a false sense of stability or a false sense of security, and all of a sudden someone challenges us with that idea, all right, maybe your idea is correct, or maybe it can be done another way just than the idea that you have. Maybe there's more than one way to a common ground. But in our anger, in our survival, we only see one way. And so when we instantly react, for those of you that instantly react to something, that a moment you're on Facebook or any social media and you see an article and you automatically react just by the title alone, and you're already ready to make fun of people and put people down and everything, I want you to remember that in that moment, you're closed-minded based on false security and stability due to the survivor of your own past emotional pain. And that is so very deep that you need to understand it. It may sound, you may get that consciously, but the heart must get that. The soul must get that very idea in order for you to understand that. Your mind is trying to create a sense of homeostasis, a sense of emotional homeostasis by holding on to these beliefs, by holding on to these ideas. And that's why they are so radical. That's why religion, politics, your idea of which way to do this, which way to dress, which way to act, which way to raise children, which way, that's why your ideas are so strongly held. Because there's always some emotional tie. When you instantly react, your anger kept you closed-minded, and it's given you a sense of value. Because isn't that true, right? Isn't that true? Who, what we believe and who, what we have and what we think and what we do give us a sense of value? Isn't that what makes us who we are? No, it does not make us who we are. What, how much knowledge we have, who, how much money we have, what spiritual beliefs or religious beliefs, what political view does not make us who we are. It does not make us who we are. And this warped sense of value comes from emotional pain. You have to hold on to something, because if you don't hold on to something, then what do we have? All we have is the shortcomings from our past. And you must learn to accept and develop and understand that idea of thinking of what we are holding on to in our past. What pain is so great to us that we would rather hold on to these jaded belief systems that stop us, that create more chaos and create more hate in our world than what we're trying to do. Because if you're like me, I'm an activist. I go out every single day and try to make this world and I'm going to use one of my no-no words, but a better place. I try to help souls grow every single day, any way I can, not just with words, just by action. But so if you're one, and you know, you always hear about the extremists, the radical extremists, right? Or the radical activist, right? The one that has that uses their anger to fight the good fight and to go ball to the walls, just in aggression. And what do they accomplish? They don't accomplish anything, because all the media does is distort it to make you look crazy. All you don't get any respect from anyone else, because all you're doing is fighting with somebody. So if you're going out in the world and you're trying to change it using aggression and anger, and you're not listening to what others have to say and actually thinking about what they have to say before you make an informed opinion, before you make an informed judgment, and then you're not changing the world. You are not doing anything for the world, no matter what you think you're doing, other than creating more chaos in it. And isn't that self-defeating? Isn't that defeating the purpose of wanting to change the world, wanting to make this place a nicer place to live? But you can't, because you have to realize that anger plus anger does not equal peace. Have you ever saw, I mean, think about it. You know, we've been fighting wars for ever since humanity has first been, you know, spliced here. But we've been fighting wars. Have we ever found peace through wars? No, it's just one war after another. And there may be a short period after that, but there's always one war after. I know in my lifetime alone, I don't think I have ever seen the United States in a form of peace. Since 1978, I have seen one war after another after another. So you tell me, and the next time you go out and someone says something aggressively to you, or you go out and you see something and you act aggressively on social media or out in public or whatever, and you tell me how when two people fight with anger, you tell me what sort of peace comes from it, because there is no peace in that. Remember, nobody wins with anger, and you must understand that. So one of the questions that I get asked all the time is, can anger be helpful? Can we use anger to help our lives? And the answer is absolutely. Of course you can use anger to better your life. Because just like physical pain tells you that there's a problem in the body, anger tells you that there is unresolved emotional problems within you. That there's challenges yet to be resolved. I really hate to use the word problem, so challenges. There's unresolved emotional challenges yet to be resolved. So, just in that one statement alone, hey, that sounds like a helpful thing to me, right? If there is a response in the body to let me know that, hey, I need to understand this and I need to look at this deeper in order to help me, in order for me to grow, I say that that's beneficial, right? I say that's helpful. I say, hey, I don't mind it, which is why I tell people to go towards it. But we look at it and we say, well, you know, but the problem is most of us react with anger and we just stew in it. We become so angry and we just let it keep growing and growing. Take a step back and ask yourself to understand it. anger can be used to rebuild passion. I know one of the things that I'm going through now, what did I tell you in the beginning of the show? I said, well, you know, my body's not responding the way it was ever since the accident. I'm not as flexible anymore. My softball skills are still good, but they're just not lasting as long. I'm more fatigued. You know, by the end of the season, I'm beat up, and usually I'm running 3, 4, 5 different leagues. And by the end of the season, I'm stronger than before. And all of a sudden I had to realize, oh, you know, I'm getting angry. I was getting frustrated in the games. And especially after our Friday night loss, you know, in the championship game, I realized that part of it was me too. I did not perform well at all. And that anger and frustration said, you know what? Something needs to change, Miss Reyna. You need to, you know, you've lost a lot of weight. You've got your body strong in certain areas, but other areas are lacking. When I went swimming, you know, I wanted to do 10,000 yards. I got to 7,000 and my body was just exhausted. And I was just like, you know what, even the first few laps, I was like, whoa, this is tough. A lot of muscles weren't there. And so I had to take it. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to take my anger. I'm going to take it and turn it into passion, turn it into something that's helping me and rechannel it. And that's why I said, you know what, my new slogan for a while is going to be rebuild, re-strengthen, and reinvent. And that's mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Everything about me is I'm going to take that anger. I'm going to take that frustration and rebuild passion, because anger can help you have a realization. If I did not realize and have frustration, or if I did not have anger and frustration, I would not have realized that things need to change, that something in me, though, that the habits I'm doing now, yes, are okay for some things. But if I want to perform at this level, or if I want this to happen in my life, then I need to do something more. So absolutely. And of course, then anger can be used for major life changes. Major life changes always come out from anger. It's unfortunately, as we grow, we're going to learn not to let anger be that trigger for us, be that final straw that says, okay, this needs to change. But when we're young, when we don't understand who we are, and all we do is act with emotion, anger is the only thing that teaches us something's got to change, right? Because when we end a relationship, when something comes to an end, or when something's about to come to an end, what's always happening? You're stewing in your misery. You're stewing in your anger. You're always fighting with your partner at the time. You're always doing something. You're fighting with the job. You're just so miserable at the job, or you're miserable doing this. Something's got to change because of the anger. It's a warning sign. It's telling you that things are going to change, and we need to rebuild. We need to re-strengthen and reinvent. And there are many different forms of anger, everybody. There are many different forms. But anger is meant to create awareness. If you take one big thing, realize that anger equals awareness. Anger equals time to change. Anger equals time to reinvent ourselves. But if you have too much anger, it will create a limitation that hurts the body. Your mind will be limited by your thoughts because, hey, the limbic system says, I don't care that any rational way of thinking. I don't care about any rational form of judgment or evaluation. All I care about is getting out of here and doing this, and I'm going to do what I can and create the mess and leave the bodies as they may. And it also hurts the body, right? I mean, how many – I was in hospice for many years helping – volunteering. And even in the health field that I'm in, I mean, you look at people who are angry. They die of strokes, heart attacks, you know, liver problems, cancers, all sorts of things. Because what does anger do on a physiological level? It stagnates energy. Stagnant energy turns to cancer. When you're angry, you feel it in the chest, right? The chest, the neck, and the head a lot of times. And it doesn't move. Every time you are angry, that's where it happens, right? And it just stays there and it pains. It's like a weight crushing that part of the body. And anger will stagnate chi and blood. It does not allow the blood to move in your body. It does not allow the vital force to move in the body. And it stagnates there. And it hurts the organ, especially the liver. The liver is damaged by anger. Every time in Chinese medicine, whenever somebody's angry, the first thing we go for is the liver channel, is because that creates it. So the moment we tackle that, all of a sudden the energy starts to flow, the chi in the blood starts to flow, because anger will also create heat in the body. And when stagnant energy does not move, it always turns to heat. Always turns to heat. When you look at someone who's constantly angry, what do they have? When they're chronic angry, they have a red face and a red body, right? Or some part of them is always red, especially usually their head and their face, all in their chest. Always, because that's where anger is stored. The energy must move and it must be expelled. So let me tell you, people, when you're angry, I want you to get angry. I want you to go towards your emotions. I want you to exercise those emotions. I want those emotions to go out and just to flourish and just for you to let it rip. But in order for that to happen, you must remove yourself from those around you. I'm not telling you, let me make this clear, I am not telling you to blow up at people, to fight with people, to try to prove your point, to try to prove your righteousness or anything like that, or to explode on people. I am telling you, when you get to that point, because you don't know how to deal with anger yet, you must learn to exercise the emotion first in order to understand it. So what do I do? What do I do when someone finally gets to Miss Raina? Yes, it does happen. When finally something, when an idea, and it's usually friends or family that I care about, when something finally gets to me, you know what I do? I go beat up Bob over here. Bob is that MMA fighter guy that looks like a guy I beat him up all the time. I go to the gym. I work out. Sometimes in my house, I scream at the top of my lungs until my voice almost goes out. And I'm screaming and I punch pillows. I beat up on Bob and I'm picturing that person. And true, I don't ever want to do any harm to that person. I'm just allowing myself to honor how I feel at that moment. Because honestly, sometimes, yes, in real life, we want to hit that person or we want to do that. That doesn't mean we're going to go do that. But in that moment, you must honor every feeling in order for it to be understood. Because you know you're a good person. You know you never want to hurt somebody. But because the energy doesn't move and you don't know how to move it, it comes out in a super aggressive way, which we usually translate as to, I want to hit you, I want to do this, because we don't know how to do it. Remember, repression hurts, people. We do not repress how we feel. If we're going to explode, we remove ourselves from that situation and we explode on our own. And we learn to develop an understanding of each other. And slowly, over time, you should learn to explode less and less. If you're constantly just learning to explode, you're not taking the time to understand why you're exploding, what the triggers are, what's going on inside of you. During these explosions, once the energy is expelled, then say, what is the trigger? Why did I react to that? Why did that make me so mad? Why did what I read or this person said or why I got my feelings hurt, why did I react that way? That is what you should be doing, because you need to release that energy first in order for you to have a clear head. Because remember, it takes at least 20 minutes for the body to have a hormonal flush in order for you to calm down. So use that time to calm down. So realize that emotions are not real. I talk about that with my students all the time, and I'm not going to get into that on the radio show. But the emotions aren't real, but the experience of them is. And the emotions are just energy. That's all they are. You create the emotion. You create your anger. You create your happiness. You create your sadness. You create any emotion which is not real based on your perception of life and how you choose to respond to what type of stimuli is coming inside your body. So those who have resolved their past, their energy flows. My energy flows. People ask me, Ms. Raina, how do you not get upset? How do you not do that? Well, there are times I do. I'm human. I would be silly to say that 100% of the time, nothing ever bothers me, especially when it comes to my friends or family. But my energy flows on a daily basis. And because it flows, I have less stressors and no anger. If my brain realizes that, hey, I don't need to take this personally, and so it's going to say, well, I'm not taking this personally anymore, so I'm not going to send it to the limbic system. I'm going to send it to the cortex instead, where rational thinking is processed. Well, then that's what I'm going to do. Why? Because now I understand the challenge. I understand who I am. I understand why I'm reacting to this, and I become more open-minded. I become less aggressive, and I use the challenge to grow. Anyone can fight. Anyone can scream. Anyone can create chaos. Anyone can be immature. Anyone can act out. But it takes it takes true strength and true maturity to face your challenges, people, and to come to an understanding not only with yourself, but other people. Hey, if you don't want to face the past, then you're always going to have anger, which is a common human experience that will always ravage your life. All right, everybody, that is tonight's show. I hope you enjoyed it. I had a good time tonight. It's good to be back. Next week's show, we're going to talk about the chaos of the world a little bit. I know we've had a couple of shows on this, but it's a very important topic to me, and it's going to tie into this show because, remember, tonight's all about anger. Well, now we're going to take it on a bigger scale next week. We're going to try to take our perceptions and everything that we're taught today, and we're going to try to look at the way the world's reacting and look at how we can interact with the world a little bit differently to make this world a little bit happier of a place. So if you'd like to follow us, you can follow us on our Facebook at facebook.com/Transcendental Transformation Radio Show. That's all one word. You could follow me personally on my Facebook at facebook.com/The Life of Raina. Visit our website, soulandspiritguide.com, and make sure you sign up for the newsletters so you can receive special hidden shows, VIP access to any of the websites. And even when we have special guests, you'll receive special offers from those special guests only if you're part of the newsletter. And if you, as always, you can email me personally at thelifeofreina@icloud.com. I want you all to have a wonderful week, and I'll see you next week. And always remember to believe in yourself, and it's not our ability. These are our talents that make us who we are, but it is our choices. Thank you and have a wonderful evening.